This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I'm just very thankful for the platform that God has given me and the opportunity to be a quarterback for, you know, the Denver Broncos. What a great organization.
This administration's war on religion is what bothers me greatly.
All we're really seeing here right now is a very modest attempt from the Obama administration to put some controls on how some government money is spent when it flows to religious organizations.
When Massachusetts drives Catholic adoption services out of the state, there's something fundamentally violating religious liberty.
And when we worship, we're receiving things from him. It might seem like a kind of a selfishness or an arrogance to Rick Warren, but it's exactly how the Bible gives it to us. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of his gift.
Indiana truck drivers love issues, etc.
It's a touchy time. A pastor who is compelled by the text that is before him on a Sunday morning to address the issue of life, its intrinsic value in the eyes of God, human life as a unique gift, bearing the image of God, fallen though it is, and deserving protection before birth and after birth until natural death, he might hesitate this time of the year because, of course, politics rules the airwaves, and he might be perceived as going political from the pulpit if he simply says what God's word has to say from the issue of life. How can a pastor deal with life issues? Is he justified in doing so? Is he political if he does? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. James Lamb is with us for the first few minutes of this hour to talk about the pastor and life issues, especially the pastor in his preaching office. A little bit later, Dr. Bill Weinrich will be our guest. We'll remember, along with the rest of the church today, men known as the Cappadocian Fathers, two brothers and a friend, Basil the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nyssa, and Gregory of Nazianzus. Now, you may not have heard of them, and even if you have, it's a good reason to revisit their lives and their work. Even if you haven't heard of them, the way that we formulate key doctrines of the Christian faith today, namely the two persons in Christ, the two natures in Christ and the one person, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and his procession from the Father and the Son, and the doctrine of the Trinity, we owe to these men, to Basil and the two Gregories. We'll talk about the Cappadocian Fathers a little bit later here on Issues Etc. And then, well, this is quite interesting. Oprah Winfrey has a new show. It airs weekly on the weekends. It's called The Next Chapter. And the premiere episode of Oprah Winfrey, she could pretty much have anybody she wants on her show for the premiere episode on her own network, and she chooses Joel Osteen. We're going to play some of Oprah's interview, sit-down interview with Joel Osteen and his wife, Victoria, and get your reaction in hour two of Issues, etc. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or go to our Facebook fan page, and you can react to Oprah's conversation with Joel Osteen in advance of hour two. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Todd.
How do you respond to that in this political season, especially with the presidential election looming, that a pastor stepping into the pulpit and legitimately addressing the issue of life, as a pastor should, can be accused of going political?
Well, first let me say that we up here in Iowa are kind of letting out a sigh of relief and chasing all the political candidates over to New Hampshire. We've been dealing with a lot of politics up here, as you very well know. And so the issue comes up, and pastors are hearing about it, and they hear about it from their parishioners, and when they get in the pulpit and they talk about some of these issues, especially during this time of the year and the political season going on now and will be going on until November, they will be accused of that. And because of that, a lot of them might shy away from doing it. And my response to that is, you know, despite all this baggage, this political baggage, and there's plenty of it attached to all these issues, abortion, euthanasia, and stem cell research, at their core, though, at their very core, they're theological issues because they deal with God's creation, life that he has given, a life that he has redeemed in his son Jesus, a life that he desires to call through his Holy Spirit. So, Pastor not only may deal with these issues or should deal with these issues when the text so speaks, he's compelled to do that. They're matters of the heart for his people. People dealing with a crisis pregnancy or a chronic illness or terminal illness, they're hearing a message out there in the world that death is the solution to those kinds of problems. And we have a much more powerful message, and we need to be pointing them to the Lord of life to turn to.
Why is the pastor, of all God-given vocations, why is he especially suited and especially responsible to deal with the life issue publicly?
Well, he's particularly suited because the pastor has at his fingertips in God's holy word this powerful truth about the value of life, first of all, what God has done that gives it value, and then the powerful truth of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and how that speaks to these issues, how it brings a message of hope and forgiveness to those who are caught up in these things, and how it brings a message of comfort and strength, because a God, as Paul says in Romans 8:32, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, and he's just not going to run away and abandon his people. So we have this powerful message in God's word to share with them, and therefore, to the second part of that, it becomes our responsibility, because our people are the sheep that God has entrusted into our care, and we are responsible to target this wonderful message, this truth and grace message, right into their lives and to the issues with which they are dealing.
You mentioned a moment ago that death is often presented as an answer, as a solution, a remedy to the life's suffering or inconveniences. And you liken this to idolatry. Why?
Well, it is idolatry because, you know, Luther says in his large catechism, he talks about anything that we turn to for more good and more help than God, that's our God. And we have a lot of Christian folks out there who turn to abortion for good and for help. They turn to assisted suicide, or they'll turn to the destruction of human embryos because they're looking for help, they're looking for something good. And when they do that, they're treating these things as their God, and that's idolatry.
Also, you say that the name of God is a good place for pastors to start thinking of addressing the life issue. How so?
Yes, because, you know, in the church, and here at Lutherans for Life, we don't encourage pastors to deal with the life issues just because life is precious. We deal with them because life is precious to God. As I said, he's the creator and redeemer of life and sanctifier of life. So that when we profane life in any of these ways that we've been talking about, then we're profaning God. We're taking his name in vain.
What is the role, and many people might be concerned that a pastor address this as forcefully as it needs to be, because they'd say, well, there's going to be a lot of law to be preached in this case. What is the role of the gospel as the pastor becomes an advocate for God's word and what it has to say about life?
Well, sure. Well, the gospel role comes in, first of all, for the pastor himself, that he's been transformed by that gospel, and he's been called into the proclamation of that gospel and steward of that gospel. And so that's what speaks to him, and that's what moves him to deal with these issues. So he comes at it from that kind of perspective, and it's not a screaming and yelling kind of perspective, but it's a perspective motivated by God's great love for him, also a sinner. And then he can, from that kind of attitude, servant attitude, share boldly and courageously, first of all, God's truth about the value he gives to life and how these things in our society devalue God's gift of life. And then he can also share the powerful message of what God has done in Christ that brings forgiveness and hope when we fall prey to the idolatry of turning to death.
We've got about a minute before we take our first break, Dr. Lamb. When someone says, yeah, Pastor, I guess we need to have a life Sunday, something like that, but how is it going to apply to us? Because, you know, maybe a few of these women might have secretly had an abortion, but that's not a generally applicable message to all Christians. With less than a minute, how would you respond?
Well, I talk about these life issues as being matters of the heart, and I do that from the Hebrew aspect of that word heart, which is something that would deal with a person's very soul, their very inner being. And on any given Sunday in our pews, there are people who are dealing with these issues in their lives. And it's more than just a teenage daughter who's pregnant. It's grandma in the nursing home. It's Uncle Ralph who's had a stroke, and they're wondering about that feeding tube. And all those kinds of issues, our people are dealing with them, and God in his gospel speaks to them.
Dr. James Lamb is our guest. A few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, talking about the pastor and life issues.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the pastor and life issues. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 10th. Dr. James Lamb is our guest, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, talk a bit about what you call the sound of silence and the danger there for the pastor and the congregation regarding the life issue.
Well, a lot of times pastors are silent about these issues for fear of being labeled political or causing division within their congregation. And unfortunately, this is not a neutral position. Silence does speak very loudly. You know, one of Satan's favorite lines, the one he used right off the bat in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, was, "Did God really say?" And if we never say what God really said about these issues, then our silence is saying, for example, to that pregnant teen, you know, did God actually say abortion is wrong? You don't hear anything about it in church, do you? And Satan loves that. Or they're dealing with grandma. Our silence says, did God actually say assisted suicide or euthanasia is wrong? You don't hear anything about it in church. And then he uses that to get people to make these kinds of decisions that go against God's truth. And then he turns on them, and he says to that woman then who subsequently has that abortion, boy, do you think you can be forgiven for that sin? You murdered your own child. You don't hear anything about it in church, do you? And so our silence sends this message that, number one, it must be okay to do these things, and number two, if you do get caught up in them, they're just too bad to be forgiven. And so silence is a deadly sound.
So those women there that are suffering from the guilt, the family there that is struggling, sometimes with a tremendous amount of guilt, rightly or wrongly, cannot afford for their pastor to remain silent on this?
Absolutely not. A pastor is compelled to minister to them in his preaching and in his visiting with them and sharing with them God's truth. He's compelled to because he has in God's word what they really need to hear in these situations.
Talk about, and I think you're so right to say this, a great place right in the heart of the gospel to begin the conversation, pastor and congregation, on the life issue, and that is in the incarnation itself, embedded in addition to all that it gives us, embedded in it are certain teachings about human life that are undeniable. What are they?
Well, in the incarnation, we see the tremendous value that God gives to human life from that very, very beginning, because we have our Lord who assumed human life from that very beginning. You know, the Word didn't become flesh and dwell among us at Jesus' nativity, at his birth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us at his conception. And that's such a powerful message to all of us about the value that God places on life from that very moment. Our dogmatics tell us that Christ passed through all these stages of our existence that he might fully redeem our unclean conception and birth. We were conceived in sin. Christ's conception was holy, and he started taking our place from that very moment. I like to tell pastors and others that the journey to the cross, it didn't start in a manger. It started in a fallopian tube. And the value and the love of God that we see there for human life, that's where we need to be starting. So often we start on the life issues, you know, way back at the fifth commandment. And there's a place for the fifth commandment, obviously, but the beginning really is in the incarnation, because that just involves such a message from our God about the value he places on life at that moment.
But let's talk about the fifth commandment a little bit.
Well,
because
certainly.
It is quite clear, and it is unambiguous, and it's amazing the degree to which we can do moral gymnastics to somehow say it doesn't apply in so many of these instances. Talk about the fifth commandment.
Well, the fifth commandment does apply, and it applies, I don't know if we can say this correctly, but it implies perhaps even more so to those in the womb or little embryos in a petri dish because they are so absolutely vulnerable and absolutely, in a judicial sense, innocent and in need of protection. And to take their lives so brutally is certainly, in its very essence, murder, the destruction of innocent life. And the Fifth Commandment does most certainly apply to abortion. It applies to embryonic, the destruction of embryos for research, and it applies to assisted suicide and euthanasia.
When the pastor approaches people who actually have real-life experience, I mean, now we're not talking about the pulpit, we're talking perhaps about the pastor's study or someone's home. When he hears from them the guilt and the sorrow over a sin in the past, perhaps an abortion that they've been silent about for years or decades, what should the pastor know? What should the pastor say? What should be his goal there?
Well, the pastors, when someone is expressing to him their guilt and their regret over a past sin, then God's law in their hearts has already done its work. And so the pastor's responsibility then is to bring to them the hope and healing of the gospel. And a powerful way to do that in that kind of setting that you're describing is through a formal personal confession and absolution with the pastor that provides this person, this couple, opportunity to confess their sin in that formal setting, and then it gives opportunity for them to hear and receive the forgiveness of Christ through their pastor. And so the pastor's responsibility is to bring them to that point of being ready to receive that healing that comes in absolution.
Finally then, Dr. Lamb, tell us about Life Sunday this year. When is it, and do you guys have some resources, Lutherans for Life, for Life Sunday?
Yes, this year, Life Sunday is January 22nd, which is also the anniversary of the decision that effectively legalized abortion on demand. And so we have... I wrote an article here recently talking about the church, God and abortion are connected this year on Sunday, so to speak. And so it's an opportune time for congregations to take advantage of the materials that we have to offer. And this year our focus or our theme is Trust God, Choose Life. And it's based on the Deuteronomy 31 passage about, I lay before you today life and death, therefore choose life that you and your children may live. And that was a choice based upon the fact that these were God's covenant people. They were not choosing him. He had already chosen them, and therefore they could choose now to live as his chosen people. And so we go back to our discussion earlier about, First Commandment issues. We can trust God. Why? Because He is our God, and He has redeemed us in Christ. He has chosen us in Christ. We can trust Him. He's given us forgiveness. He's assured us of heaven, and we can trust Him to be at work in and through even the sufferings in our lives, perhaps especially in the sufferings in our lives. And so we can make good decisions then that reflect His will and His values. And so that's what our focus is about. And we have all kinds of materials, bulletin inserts and sermons and Bible studies and children, things for the children, all kinds of opportunities and suggestions on how to share that theme. So you can go to our website at lutheransforlife.org, and right there on the home page you can click on Life Sunday materials. Many of those things are downloadable, and you can also go to CPH website, and all of our materials are there as well.
Folks, we will also post a link to these Life Sunday resources at issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, all our best to you and your family, and thank you again for your time.
You're welcome.